I've shared this story with you in the past. The story of a mother who overheard her young son praying one night just before he went to bed. And she was rather surprised to hear that one of the things that he said in his prayer to God was, "God, please make Boulder the capital of Colorado." And the mother was curious, and she, when her son was done praying, she asked him why he prayed that petition. And he said to her, "Because that's what I put on my test today at school." We chuckle, we smile at the young boy's use of prayer and what the young boy expected out of prayer. And yet I think, if truth be told, most of us are the same way. Those of you who have been with me in Bible classes through the years have heard this many, many, many times, but I have often likened people's perception of prayer to that of a young child jumping into Santa Claus's lap in the department store to tell him what they want for Christmas. Present your Christmas list to him and expect Santa Claus to deliver. And that is basically the way many, many, many Christian people picture prayer and see prayer, much like that young boy. Change the way everything is, God. That even affects everybody else. But do it for me. This is what I want. Jesus, in our text for today, in Luke chapter 11, talks about prayer. He is asked by his disciples, "Teach us to pray." And the text that we read was Jesus' response to that request. And the story that Jesus tells in response to that request, and how to pray, mind you, this is what the disciples are asking: "Lord, teach us to pray." The story that he tells is in response to that request. The friend at midnight, we call it. A man comes to his friend, his neighbor, at midnight, when the day is done. All are in bed, all are sleeping, it has been dark for hours. And he begins knocking on the door of his friend's house, awakening him and his children, and says, "Give me some bread, because I'm caught short. A friend of mine has come on a journey, and I don't have anything, any food to set in front of him." Now mind you, that's a major deal in the Middle East. Major deal. If somebody comes to your house, you are expected to give them something to eat. If you don't, it's a sign of disrespect. It's even a sign of hatred, because you don't eat with your enemies. You do eat with your friends. "Give me a loaf of bread. I have nothing to set before this man." At midnight is the request. There's the prayer. It's what he wanted. It's what he thought he needed. And Jesus says something very interesting. He said the man inside won't get up because he's his friend out there banging on the door. But he'll get up because of the, quote, shameless persistence of the individual. The shameless persistence of the individual. We see the same kind of thing in the Old Testament reading for today with Abraham. God is on his way to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy them for their wickedness. You know the story well. And Abraham says, if there's 50 people, you heard them, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. Notice how persistent Abraham is in his requesting to God. Shamelessly. I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Don't get angry, but I'm going to say it anyway. And that's the friend at midnight. Not caring what he's going to look like in the eyes of others. Not caring at all what he's going to look like in the eyes of his friend upon whose door he's knocking. But he has a need. And he brings it to his friend. Jesus pictures prayer first and foremost as shameless persistence. The man asking for the bread in the story is not too proud to ask. He is not timid, nor is Abraham. But he goes to his friend boldly, with boldness. Not caring what anybody's going to think. He's shameless. He is acknowledging, you see, verbally to his friend, I need you. I am dependent upon you. Because by myself, I fumbled the ball. The first aspect of prayer that Jesus pictures is shamelessness on the part of the petitioner. Acknowledging our dependence upon God for even the simplest of things. And he's persistent. The text tells us in the original that he kept pounding on the door. The man didn't answer right away. This guy kept pounding over and over and over and over and over again, crying out to his friend. Abraham kept asking God time and again, how about if you find a lack of 5 there of the 50? How about a lack of 10 of the 40? How about we go all the way down to just 10? It's not that the request is delivered once. There is persistence involved in prayer. And it is that persistence, that shameless persistence, that is responded to. There's nothing half-hearted pictured here by Jesus at all. There's nothing, oh well, I've done my job, I've done my duty, I've taken it to God, I'll leave it there. There is persistence involved. Many people's prayer lives are characterized by a lack of persistence. We live in an instant society. I've said this many times too. Stick something in the microwave and you can eat in 5 minutes. Instant breakfast, instant coffee, instant this, instant that, instant the other thing, and we carry that right over to our prayer lives and say, instant answer. God looks for persistence. Why did the friend go to his friend at midnight? Even though it was unconventional, he knew his friend would help him. He knew his friend would give him what he needed. He knew his friend desired to help him. And that's the picture we get here too. In prayer, the petitioner sees God as desirous to give. As desirous to help. Not as someone, an obstacle we must overcome. Not as somebody we've got to try to convince to do something. To change his mind. But he wants to give us what we need. And that lacks in so many people's praying. One of the Old Testament studies we've done through the years here. One of the sessions we talk about what it means to fear God And to fear God very simply means this: to not only acknowledge, and here you go, not only acknowledge His ability to do something, and we do that in prayer, Lord, You are able to do this. But it's that second part that often gets left off: God's will, His desire to do it. And that's what many, 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 many people do not have faith in: God's desire, His will to help. As I stated at the very beginning, much of our prayers, our prayer life, is like that little boy asking God to make Boulder the capital of Colorado. What do we expect from prayer? Jesus says all kinds of things we love in this text. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. What is it that we expect? You hear what Jesus said in the last verse of this text: if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Not how much more will your heavenly Father give you the new car to those who ask Him. Not how much more will your heavenly Father give you the good health you're asking for to those who ask Him. He will give the very best, and that is Himself. You see, prayer is a form of fellowship. The honor and the privilege of talking to the One who created the entire universe. The privilege of coming into His presence and saying whatever you want, and knowing that He wants to give you Himself. And prayer develops that bond, you see. Just as friends talk, friends bounce things off each other, so it goes with the believer and God Himself. That bond is developed, strengthened each and every time we go to Him in prayer. Why? Because His response is to give of Himself. Jesus says an awful lot here about prayer, doesn't He? A lot of corrections are made to our approach to prayer by Jesus. We prayed it in the collect for the day earlier today. I don't know if you noticed it, but it went like this: by Your word and Spirit, teach us how to pray, that our petitions may be pleasing before You. Ultimately, the prayer of the Christian is this: Lord, Your will be done. In whatever circumstance it is. And the outcome of that prayer? Well, God's desirous to give, remember. His will be done. And in that faith, in that confidence, we go forward. Amen.